In the studio now, we've got author Scott Williamson. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the studio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
And I'm going to need you to come a bit closer to the microphone there, Scott. Yeah. Now, Scott, you were also a teacher for 40 years.
40 years of public education, most of it in the MacArthur area.
So you would have seen a lot of change in the education.
Yeah, lots of different change. When I first came out, that we didn't have computers in classrooms. Then the internet hit us. Then we had the educational change with technology coming into classrooms. The kids changed in their manner. They were spending a lot of time on technology and less time in books. And, of course, then COVID hit and things changed again.
So what about in the English learning itself, Scott? We've had a lot of change in the way I know the system's changed so many times in the way of teaching English. So what have we gone back to? Have we gone back to basics?
We have gone back to basics. The department have put out brand new units which are very prescriptive in the way they're taught. Whether they are wonderful in terms of engagement, I would still question that. But we're definitely looking back at basically nuts and bolts and mechanics of reading, and same with writing.
I received a media release yesterday and I was meant to print it and I didn't, forgot to print it. Phonics, they're encouraging schools to teach more, and Camden actually has upped its level. That's one of the schools that's been commended. And I forget, there was another local school, but I know that Camden was one. So they're finding that kids are missing out on their phonics?
Yeah, that was part of it. Obviously, as kids went through with technology, there wasn't as much core reading happening, particularly at home, where kids were on devices more so than reading books. So they weren't getting a chance to practice those phonic ideas that they learned at schools, but some of those ideas are being brought back into the classroom.
Do you think that's a positive?
I think it is in the long run. I mean, kids need to understand the fundamental building blocks of how reading works. And then, of course, that flows into writing, which is obviously my sphere. But kids need to have a love of literature. And they'll only have that love of literature if they have a broad understanding of the basic mechanics that are involved in that. And phonics is part of that.
Because also the learning curriculum has changed so much and over the years. I remember kindergarten at one stage used to be a fun time. Kids went, you enjoyed kindergarten. You did the fun things. You learnt the cutting out and all this. Now they're assuming all kids go to preschool and pick up all those things, but not all kids go to preschool. So some still haven't learnt that skills of being able to cut something to coordinate different things and that it's under the assumption all kids have gone through some sort of preschooling thing and have got a basic idea. And then when the teachers are teaching the subjects, they haven't got time to go back and revise because it's going on. They've got to teach at what's set there for them, don't they?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, a lot of the kids when they attend school in kindergarten, some of them have pre-reading, some of them have pre-understanding of alphabet and number patterns and things, but others just don't. They're starting from scratch, so the teachers then have to deal with that. Now, fortunately, in New South Wales Public Schools, we only have 20 in a classroom, which helps us to manage that a little bit better. But there's also all the socialisation that comes with being in a new school too. So there are a number of parameters, and while I wasn't a kindergarten teacher myself, I take my hat off to the ones that are, because they have to put up with a lot of different issues when they come into the classroom these days.
And it's very challenging for them, but as you said, some have got no skills whatsoever, some are medium and some are highly skilled, and then the poor teacher's got to figure out, well, how am I going to help each level child when they don't have assistance in the class? The teacher's doing it on their own. So it's quite a challenge for the teachers.
Yeah, small group instruction is absolutely essential where you've got your kids in tiered sort of learning environments. And, you know, a lot of teachers work very, very hard at that and giving that time to those specific groups for those needs. And that's happening all across New South Wales. And I have to say that teachers these days have never been better trained. There's a lot of professional learning that goes into environments all the time. So people are out there trying, but there's very, very challenging circumstances around kids with, particularly with disabilities now coming into our schools a lot more. A lot of diagnosed disabilities, which were, you know, which mainstream teachers have to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and that, yeah, it's all so I wouldn't be a teacher myself these days, I don't think, because a lot's been taken out of a teacher's hand, and you've got to work with what you can, and discipline even, you know, a lot's been taken out.
Yeah, there are those challenges.
And even like comforting a child, it's natural. If someone's upset, you go to comfort a person. But these days you've got to sort of hands-off type thing. I can't give you that hug even though I want to comfort you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a bit of a grey line there. I mean, if a child needs support, I mean, most teachers give that child the support they need there and then, because teachers are in the game because they're nurturing people, you know, and that's why they're in the game. You know, they want the social and emotional well-being of the child to be at the forefront, and that way they can actually apply themselves to learning. So that's really, really important, establishing themselves as that trusted person.
Okay, now we've got parents listening out there who've got children doing Year 12 and that. Would you recommend teaching as a job choice for children? Do you find it challenging as a teacher yourself?
Challenging is definitely the word. I have a bit of grey hair now because of teaching, but rewarding is the thing. I mean, it was rewarding to me every day. And even though I'm retired now, I still have times when I go and do book studies in classrooms and things, and I'm still passionate about it. I still want to be there. I still want to be a part of their day and their learning journey. So most teachers have that in them. So I would say to year 12 parents going in, if they've got people that want to aspire to be a teacher, by all means try it. It's not for everybody. The hours are long, and I know people think the holidays are there and there's 10 weeks of them. Believe me, a lot of people work in their holidays, and I was one of them. So, yeah, I would, you know, really encourage people to look into teaching. I know my number is the number 19. I have 19 people that I know of that I taught that are now teachers, which is really inspiring to me. So, yeah, it's a well-paid job these days. I mean, New South Wales teachers are the best paid in Australia. So, you know, people are coming out on a very, very substantial wage. So it can be rewarding financially as well.
Oh, that's really good. And also, like you said, to have the children come back, and if you've had an impact on that child, they will come back and see you. And that's so rewarding to know, wow, they've come back to see me. Yeah, so I must have meant something
nice.
To them.
It is nice. When you catch up with them and they've grown, and that, but they see you and recognise you, and then you have to think, oh, what year were you in? And then you talk about what experiences you had along the way. It all comes back to you. And then, you know, their children come through and they talk about you too. So it's really lovely, and it's really, really rewarding.
Okay, we're just going to listen to the word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back to speak to Scott about the books he's written. Yes, you're listening to The Sounds of MacArthur. With us in the studio, we've got author Scott Williamson. Now, Scott, what made you want to go into challenge writing?
I always thought I had a book in me. I always liked creative writing myself, and I always wrote pieces to use in my teaching for kids. And when the COVID crisis hit, we obviously went into lockdown, and the kids came back into the classroom. They were different. They'd been lounging around at home. They'd been on devices. I mean, some kids would have been out there reading, no doubt, but most of the kids were very disconnected with education. When we got them back into school, and all schools were similar, all my colleagues in different schools said the same thing. Kids were disconnected. They didn't really want to learn. They didn't want to focus any attention to learning for a sustained period. When I would take kids to the library, and every class goes once a week to the library to borrow a book, the kids would look at the books and they would turn it to the side and look at the spine and see how wide it was. And if it was any wider than, say, a centimetre, they would put it back on the shelf because it was all too hard. Their reading fitness wasn't there. So reading fitness is a real thing with the amount of words on a page that the kids can read comfortably until they get a bit sick of it and they want to put it down. So I looked at that and I thought, we've got to change this. We've got to change this attitude to books and reading, because that, of course, flows into writing. And so I thought to myself, what does the modern child want in a book? So what did I do? I went to lots of kids and I surveyed hundreds and hundreds of kids across various grades, from year three up to year six. And I asked them a question, what do you want in books? And I recorded all the information and I got graphs and things. And then I thought to myself, well, this is what they want. And here was basically the results. They wanted adventure stories. Mystery Detective was their favourite one. They wanted a range of skills and talents of the heroes. They wanted elements of danger faced by the heroes. They wanted plots that were easy to follow and they're not overly descriptive. They wanted criminals that were believable in their actions. They wanted modern day issues covered in books. They wanted short chapters. They wanted illustrations, and let's face it, they're all primary visual learners, so illustrations made sense. And the one that really threw a curveball for me was they wanted a hint of a love interest. So I thought to myself, okay, that's what they want. So I took all that away and I worked on it and I worked on it and I came up with a concept, mystery detective sort of arrangement. So I came up with five characters. Now it took me at least five to 12 months to come up with different characters that would have different appeal. And once I got the five characters, I got my villain and I produced the story called Mystery of the Town Bell. Now, essentially, my books are modern-day Famous Five, but with obviously the modern-day technical sort of ideas. So one of my kids is called Tech because he's really good with technology. And one of my kids is a sporty kid. One of my kids is an animal lover and so forth. So all my characters have different parts that kids can really latch onto and love in a character. So essentially, I produced my first book. It took me 3 weeks to write. And I went downstairs on a Sunday morning and basically my family was sitting at the table and I said, oh, by the way, I've written a book. And they looked at me strange as if to say, yeah, come on, sure. And then I showed it to them. So, yeah, so that was all part of it.
And how did they take the book? Did they pull it apart on you? And
my oldest son, God love him, he read the book and he had lots of critique, which I took on board. And, yeah, we made some changes, but essentially the book stayed the way it was until I took it to my publisher.
And how have you found, have you had feedback from children at school because you're still involved with the schools?
Yeah. So my first book came out and I was still teaching at school. And, of course, I read it to my class. And now my class would be biased because I was reading my book to them, but they absolutely adored it. Nobody was bored with it and I thought, wow, this is really amazing. So then I started on book two. So my whole series talks about the same five characters going through adventures and, you know, taking down notorious criminals. And they don't always win. Some of the criminals escape and come back in other books. But generally the sequel rolls through from their year five and year six days and it goes into high school.
Sounds like some of the ideas they gave you were from some of the games that they were playing while they were there in COVID, like the adventures.
Some of the gaming ideas are there, particularly around some of the adventures they go into. I mean, in the first book they tackle a shark, and in the second book there's all sorts of problems with quad bikes. You know, so there's lots of different parameters. Book six has a spider in it, you know. So there's lots of different parameters in it where it's going to be an exciting thing where we build tension in a chapter, but hopefully in the end things work out okay.
So the book continues on. So how many issues have we got?
I've got nine out so far. At the moment. And I've got 10 and 11 already written and 12 is almost at completion.
Wow. Now, one of the ones you were showing me were events that happened here in Australia. So you got the fires and the
So
different
book
things
nine,
that the kids can relate to that are actually happening around them.
Yeah. So book nine was called Mystery of the Fiery Inferno. Now, obviously, 3 or 4 years back, we had smoke in our playgrounds around the bushfires.
Mm.
So I thought, well, Australia being, you know, a bush sort of environment, so let's have the mystery around that. So fire comes and ravages the town. And, of course, it's all a little bit around people doing the wrong thing and setting bushfires and the kids sort of setting that right. So I try to get some thematic issues through my books, particularly around bullying, modern-day scamming is one of my books. So I try to deal with modern-day issues that the kids and parents can both relate to because they're issues that are in our community at present.
So bullying is both out of school and in school type thing?
Very much so, yeah.
Because it can be by anyone really doing it to them, couldn't it?
Yeah, bullying, particularly the online stuff now, is very concerning. There's obviously a number of charities around online bullying and, you know, there have been some really, really sad situations that have cropped up through online bullying. So the idea of bullying in schools, it's not a new thing. We've all talked about things that happen in schools. So by... you know, focusing on that sort of issue in one of my books, we bring that to light that bullying maybe is not the ideal behaviour and we can curb around it in certain ways so it's not so much of an issue.
So you're covering both sides of the bullying, like you've got those that don't want to bully people but are sort of, because they're weak character, they're not strong people themselves and feel intimidated, they'll join the group that decided bullying, and then you've got the person that's being bullied. So you're covering both aspects there.
Definitely. Both aspects you've seen. You see people that are actioned by a bully to be a bully and they're not comfortable with that, but they do it anyway through peer pressure. And then you've got the other side of it with the kids that are experiencing bullying and how are we going to get around that in a positive way so it's not going to be some sort of violent issue.
Have you had feedback from parents that have read your book and even the bullying one and saying how it's impacted their child or any feedback?
I have had some really, really good feedback. I've got a website, obviously, and I've got, you know, social media and things. And parents have reached out to me through email and the like or spoken to me about these issues that have come up. And they're very, very thankful that the books cover some of these issues because it's then an easy talking point for them as a parent to have with their child around something that's happened in the book and then how does that relate to you as a person with your own child. So I'm very, very enamoured by the amount of positive feedback I've had from parents around my books.
And have you written a book around the water safety? Like we've got the swimming, children need to do that. Also the dangers that they... their peer group decide, well, we're going to jump off here, and they tell you not to jump off something high that if you can't see what's down there, it could be rocks down there. Have you covered all that kind of... Because
you've
got...
It's funny you mention that because book 11, which isn't out yet, deals with water and it deals with poisoned rivers, but it also deals with kids jumping off a rock, you know, like watermelon or whatever. So it deals with that a little bit, but it also deals with water safety and pollution in waters.
Because even flooded drains and stuff. Kids, what goes through children's, you know, head... Well, it's a challenge, I'm going to try to do it, but they don't think of the consequences that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, one of my characters has to think about those consequences sometimes because he takes too many risks. And, of course, there are other characters that bring him back to the real world.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds really good to have that character. And which character does it?
Jimmy.
So he's the lively one.
He is the leader, but he's also the risk taker.
Oh, sounds really good.
But... You know, in some books, risk is a good thing because they have risk and reward, and then they have risk, and then there's other times when they have the need of parents to help them or the need of the authorities to help them to apprehend a criminal or someone who's doing something wrong.
Yeah. So do you cover the safety as well, that the police force and all that are there to...
Yeah.
So that's covered in another book?
Yeah, the police force are very, very mindful in my books, and one of the characters is Sergeant Higgins, and Sergeant Higgins makes a number of appearances. And she is very tongue-in-cheek about what the kids are doing along the way, but she's also happy that they've helped her in her investigations. But she is warning them about the dangers of dealing with criminal element and things. So there is definitely that safety parameter that's included in the books.
Do you do much talks that anyone listening out there would like to go and hear you talk?
Oh, about yeah. The books? So I do lots of work in the community around higher potential gifted education in students. Like tomorrow morning I'll be at Rose Meadow Public School doing a gifted and talented group of kids from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. If the kids are out there listening, hello. But I also do author days. So I will go into schools and I'll talk about my books and we'll do some dress-ups and we'll do some role plays and we'll talk about the importance of books and writing and how that can impact them later in life. But we also have fun around books. I want to make books fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, picking up a gaming device is always going to be fun, but the idea of picking up a book can also be fun and we need to get that balance right. So, yes, I do lots of school visits. I have a website, scottwilliamsonbooks.com. It's not hard to find. And I've got a website and it's social media as well. So there's lots of ways you can contact me to come to the school, and I'd be very, very happy to talk to kids from, you know, from a young age up to, you know, year six. And sometimes I even go into high schools and work with high school students about writing, and I particularly love working with advanced writers.
Mm. Well, thank you very much for coming in, Scott. Now, if parents want to buy the book as a gift, the whole series there, the site that they'll go to buy the books?
Yeah, it's on my website. There's a shop there and everything. And if you go onto the website and buy a book, I will definitely sign it, sign a copy and send it off to you. The other place is Harry Hartog's at Narellan. They love my books. They sell lots of books for me. So they're wonderful people there, and they're very, very helpful. And the kids know my books are in Harry Hartog's at Narellan.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, Scott.
Thank you. Love being here.
Thank you. You're listening to The Sounds of MacArthur.